Turning, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This morning, we not only want to look at the text of Proverbs, but I'd also like to give some prerequisites for the study of the Word of God. One set of them is spiritual, the other set is natural. And let me begin with the natural conditions for the study of the Word of God. And I'm taking this from something I just discovered because I think its illustration is so vivid. And it comes from Martin Luther. He says, imagine the Word of God to be a tree. The first thing you do in approaching and finding out all about the tree is to go up and shake the whole thing. And he says, you grab the big trunk and you try to move the tree. You assess its strength. You try to see how tall it is, how wide it is, how much room it takes up. And he says that is the first step in the study of the Word of God. Go up to the book of John and shake it. And by that he means read it and reread it and reread it and reread it. And I think that's an area where most of us lack a great deal. We do not start Bible study by reading the Bible. And therefore, if you're going to do the Gospel of John, the first step is a very simple step. And I don't care whether you're a beginner or well advanced in the study of the Bible, you need to go up to the tree and shake it and look at the whole of the book itself and read John, let's say, 15 times. It doesn't take that long. I don't care how long you would spread it out. You might do it once on Monday, once on Tuesday, or you might decide that that's too much. I'll cut it into parts and decide that let's do up through the life of Christ until his last week. And that means you'd be studying about 13 chapters of John. Then you would say, let's go and look at the last part of the Gospel of John, and that is the last week in the life of Christ, and you'd go from 14 on through 21. You're shaking the tree and getting the whole picture of the Gospel of John. That's the place to start. And the only requisite that you have to do is, number one, be able to read the English language. And if you can read in English and you can begin in John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and continue on through the entire book. Don't try to interpret, just simply read for what it says. And that is the first step always in Bible study, which is, what does the text say? Now, Luther says the second thing you do after you've shaken the whole tree is you climb up in the tree and shake all the branches. And you look at this branch and that branch and you try to analyze what it says and what it means by what it says. And now you're down to, remember our inverted triangle? Shake the whole tree, get up in the tree, climb in it, and grab hold of each branch and shake each branch. And he says, then when you do that, you come to the third step. And you notice that that branch has lots of little tiny limbs on it. Now, shake all the limbs. And study this one and that one and analyze this one and that one. And tell how this one relates to this one. This ties on here. Did you notice that on this branch, it branches out two ways and has two main stalks in it? And then you have shaken the branches. Shake the tree, shake the branches, climb up in the tree, shake the branches, and then look at the twigs on the branches. But he says, you're not done yet because you have leaves. And he says, look at each leaf and analyze what is on each leaf. But he says, you're not finished yet. You then need to look at the underside of every leaf. And I think that is a good analogy of how we study the Word of God. We begin by shaking the whole tree. I'm going to ask Corey this morning at the second hour to come up and shake a branch at us. And it will be Proverbs 3. and we'll be looking at that branch, then on down to the details of the Word of God. But you start big and you come down narrow. Those are the natural requirements for reading any book. Now, there are two other things we need to note, and that is the fact that there need to be three other things involved, and we'll not cover them this hour. I'll only mention them. Number one, you really need to understand the nature of the tree that we're shaking, the nature of the Word of God. And for that, we will go, not this hour, but next hour, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. And in the 8th verse, probably better than anywhere else, God simply says, what is the difference between this book and any other? And that is where he will say, my thoughts, or literally, my way of thinking is not your way of thinking. So that takes this book and sets it apart from all of the books, because this book is what it claims to be more than anything else. It claims to be the Word of God. And if you wanted to begin with elementary knowledge and simply say, what does the Bible claim to be more than anything else? And the answer to that is, there are more claims for itself in the Bible than any other single claim. It claims more about its own nature to be the words of God, and therefore that gives it great importance. Now, there's a second thing, a verse that we'll want to look at later, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, when it says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And that simply means that this book is different in that, number one, we must realize its nature, and number two, it's the only book that will not yield its truth to those who are not acquainted with the author. You can pick up a math book, a science book, a history book, and you do not necessarily have to know the author. This book you do. And if we do not know God in a personal way, then we cannot really qualify for the study of the Word of God. And then we'll tie that in with the book of 1 Thessalonians, is how does the Word of God, which is the Word of God, how does it make a change in our lives? What are the conditions? And 1 Corinthians 2:13 will say it works and produces change in those that read it, believing it to be what it really is. So we'll want to go over that both hours, including the next hour. Now let's take chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs and shake a branch. And if you've got your Bible open to that portion, let's read in Proverbs chapter 3. Now, as we have said many, many times, the key to any document is its structure. How is it put together? And our simplest illustration is, the telephone book would be of no value whatsoever to you if you didn't understand its structure. And its structure is alphabetic. You find my telephone number by going to the M's in the phone book. Otherwise, you've got a book that is useless because you can't find everything. And it might have every telephone number in Kansas City listed randomly. But if it's random, then we could never, never find anything in that book. And therefore, whenever we read, and we have looked at the, let's put up here what we've covered. We have covered already in the book of Proverbs, and we're not going to repeat this at all. What is this doing? This outline shook the whole tree. In other words, we went from Proverbs 1 through chapter 31. That's the whole book. And we shook the tree. And we did so by noting that the Proverbs of Solomon begin with chapter 10, verse 1. Before that, you have wisdom crying out, and therefore you say, the wisdom section, 1 through 9, that's a section all to itself, that's a branch. And then we come to a second branch on the tree, and that is the Proverbs of Solomon, chapter 10 through chapter 23, through chapter 22. Then all of a sudden, in the midst of that chapter, the text of Scripture says, these are the words of the wise. And we say, Proverbs of Solomon is a branch, words of the wise is a branch, and then we go to the next and the next. And we noted that in chapter 25, we come back once again to the Proverbs of Solomon. And then you have, finally, the appendices of Agur, Lemuel, and the noble woman. That is shaking the whole tree. And when we know that well, we know that Proverbs is a message of wisdom, 9 chapters. Second part of the tree, Proverbs of Solomon, 10 through 22. Third part, the words of the wise, 22:17 through 24. Then we return once again to the Proverbs of Solomon. And think of this as one whole tree, and we're shaking down and looking at its individual parts. Now, if we would take that further, you see this part that says the message of wisdom? Now let's go down to all the branches under the message of wisdom. And in going down to that, we would have as follows. We would have the message of wisdom. That's a branch. And there are 5 little branches on the big branch. They are the prologue, the parents, the plea, the promise, and the precepts. And for teaching purposes, I have alliterated that, but you don't have to do that. But now we're looking at the branches. Number 1, we stood off and looked at the tree. Number 2, we climbed up in the tree. And as we climb up in the tree, we see its different parts that are there. And if you'll turn back just one page to chapter 2. In chapter 2, we have shaken the whole tree. We have looked at the branches. We have looked at the twigs. And now let's look under some of the leaves on the tree. And so chapter 2 begins by saying, my son, if you will receive my saying. See the little leaf there that's called a verb? It's the word receive. Let's look under that leaf. And in looking under the leaf, what would be the thing that, and think of the word receive as the top side. What would be the underside of the leaf? What's behind the word receive? A Hebrew word, right? A Hebrew word is on the other side of it because the Bible is written in Hebrew. And now we're down to the detailed part. And we have the words, if you will receive. And we find out that that is word lakek. And we look that up in a lexicon and find out that lakek means to take in marriage. Now, does that add a little bit to the word receive? We could literally translate, my son, if you will marry my sayings. And what have we done now? We've looked at the tree, the branches, some of the limbs, and now we're down to looking under the leaf that says receive, and under that leaf we find the Hebrew word lakek, and we determine what it means. And so all the time in the study of the Word of God, we're backing off, coming close, backing off, coming close. Or we could do it another way. We could say you learn the Word of God in the same way that a woman looks at a dress. She's in the store, and what does she do? She backs off and says, how would I look in that? What's the whole, what's the top, the waist, the skirt like? Are they contrasting? How does the whole thing fit together? For example, whenever I buy a suit or dress, I always, whenever I buy a suit, I always, almost always, dress in one piece. Anyone know why I dress in one piece? Why? Yes, makes me look taller, doesn't it? So that if I had a white jacket on and black pants, I would look this tall because that would cut me off. So I don't wear those sort of clothing. I wish I could have big contrast. If you're tall, you can do that. But I look and say, look, that's too much contrast there. I don't want the stripes to go this way because they emphasize how much you weigh. It's better for me to have stripes, very small ones, that go vertically. And therefore, I look at a suit in that way at a distance. Then, what do? You come up to the suit and you say, I wonder what the cloth is like. And you take the bottom of the coat and you feel. That has a nice feel to it. And you want to say, is it nubby? Or is it smooth? Is it silk-like? And therefore, you get up to the suit and you look at it this way. Which one gave the picture? Both. One was up close. The other is at a distance. It has been illustrated in another way. Here stands an elephant. And you really want to know what the elephant looks like. So you get a magnifying glass. And you come up to 3 inches within the elephant, and you look at him through the magnifying glass. Well, what do you see? You don't get a general picture at all. You don't see the ears, moth-eaten ears. You don't see the teeth. You don't see the head. You don't see the tail. Because you're looking so close, there's nothing wrong with looking close. But you will never, never, never determine what an elephant looks like with a magnifying glass. You'll only do that when you back off and look at a distance. And that's one of the features that we have right here. We do a lot of looking at the Word of God with a magnifying glass. But these outlines is why we back off and we look at a further part of it. For example, we came to chapter 2. And what did we do with chapter 2? Well, we said, you know, that is a branch that goes two ways. And remember how we did chapter 2? There is the if part. And you look at chapter 2, verse 1. If you will receive my sayings, and if you will treasure my commandments with you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your ear to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift up your voice for her, for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then. And that's easy. Proverbs 2 is a branch with two parts to it. The if part and the then part. And then you begin to look at that branch, the then part, a little more carefully. And as you look more carefully, you find a then in verse 5. And if you go down to verse 9, you find a second then. And you say, well, I wonder if there's a first then and a second then, is there a third one? And as you read through the text, you do not see a third one. You say, therefore, this has two parts to it. And what is the first then about? Knowing God. What is the second then about? Knowledge of rightness. You're looking more carefully. And then, as we said, we come down to the if part, and we begin to look under the leaves. And what is under the leaf? The word or main verb, receive. My sayings, and it's a word for taking something in marriage. All right, do you... Let me stop for just a second now. Question, do you understand what I'm saying? Study the scripture for the whole, the parts, the little parts, the details, and the very words. Okay? I think it's important not only to teach the Word, but to teach believers how to study the Word. And it also puts in your hands a means for critiquing what I do. Because you may say, look, we've started into this book. We don't know what the whole thing looks about. Is he going to tell us? And a good teacher will do that. Or is he breaking it down into its parts? This thing does have parts, does it not? Did he tell me what the parts were? Did he go into detail of the main verb? And did he tell what that means? And did he tell what the prepositions and so forth all mean? And I think sometimes in our study here, we may be looking under the leaves and someone comes for the first time and what do they say? Boy, I'm lost. I don't know where we are. And that's the case for sticking with it because we ultimately will synthesize the whole thing. Now, we're ready this morning to look at Proverbs 3 and look at this branch and say, is there any key to it? And here it is. Proverbs 3. The theme is found in verse 4. The theme is found in verse 4. Reading. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. The theme revolves about the words favor with God and man. Now, for my own use and own study, I have taken those words in verse 4, favor in the sight of God and man, and I put a little box around them. Because I have noticed in further study that this becomes a real theme of the book. Now, look down at the structure. How is the book put together? And the structure is this way. Verse 1 through 4 are conditions for vertical, that's Godward, and horizontal success. And therefore, we will look at that, and then the rest of the chapter divides up by saying favor with God, and here's to have favor with man. And the whole chapter is a development of that. So that 5 through 12 is success in the sight of God, or favor in the sight of God. Then beginning at 13 on through the rest of the chapter, you have success with man. And notice, for example, down at verse 27. Verse 27 is looking at things in a horizontal manner, not a vertical manner. And notice beginning in verse 27, do not withhold from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I will give it. Notice this is not favor with God, this is favor with men. Verse 29, do not devise harm against your neighbor. Verse 30, do not contend with a man without cause. Verse 31, do not envy a man of violence. And notice into the end of the chapter, it's all horizontal relationships. So what do we have then? Now go back, for example, to 5 through 12. And notice it's not horizontal, it's vertical, isn't it? Trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all your heart. Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Verse 9, honor the Lord from your wealth, and so forth. Verse 11, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. And therefore, 5 through 12, or the rest of the chapter, is all developing these words. How to have favor with God and man. The conditions for it. both vertical and horizontal success, 3, 1 through 5. And then as we come down to verse 4 talks about favor with God and man, and the tree branches. And it branches out in two ways. How to have success in the sight of God, 5 through 12, and how to have success in the sight of man. Now the next thing we'll want to do is to begin to look at the leaves and see on this idea of success in the sight of God, look at the first leaf. First leaf, the leaves are usually found in the main verbs. And so you come to verse 5, and what is the main verb? Trust. So the first element for success with God is trust. And then you come down to verse 9, and you have a second command, a second imperative, and it says, honor the Lord. And then you come down to verse 11, my son, do not reject the discipline. And so the three leaves that we'll want to look on and under are trust, what is involved in that, honor, what is involved in that, and finally, the discipline of the Lord in verse 12. And then he'll give a little discourse on wisdom and then begin to talk about our horizontal relationships with men. All right, you catching on what we're doing? We're looking at, we've looked at the whole tree. As Luther put it, we've shook the tree of Proverbs. We did that in our general outline of the whole book. We are now looking at Proverbs 3, which is a branch. Proverbs 2 was a branch. It was an if-then branch. And therefore, you think of second chapter in terms of here's a branch, and it goes two ways, doesn't it? The if branch, the then branch, and the if branch breaks down into four little branches that come off of the if branch, and they are the if clauses found in the first four verses. And each if clause has leaves on it. And we look on the leaf and under the leaf until we've absorbed the Word of God. And we're going to do today the same thing with chapter 3. So the theme is found in verse 4. Now, verse 4 breaks in turn into two parts. The promise part and the scope part. The promise part. So you will find favor and good repute. And so the blessing is stated in two ways. Number one, the blessing of favor. And number two, the blessing called good repute. And we'll look at the leaf, good repute, and find out that it is a Hebrew word that very simply means, as its basic form, success. And that's why we have made the theme is favor or success with God in mind, God and man in verse 4. So, favor and good repute, let's break those down into one statement. Favor and good repute. Favor and good repute have following them an equal sign. And for purposes of study, we're taking the phrase favor and good repute and putting it under one word. That is the word success. And how to have success with God and with man is going to be the theme that is there. And therefore, we're talking about success, and we're talking about success in two ways, vertical and horizontal. Do you know any passage in Scripture that does more about this than Proverbs chapter 3? This is really a key passage in the book of Proverbs. So there's much we can do to win the favor of man, but winning the favor of God and man is a different story. And let's close then with two examples. The first is in Daniel 1. Daniel 1. Are there any examples of men and women who have found success vertically and horizontally both? You have many, many passages that talk about men, as the majority of men do, who have success with other men. But what about success with God and men? Chapter 1, verse 9. And notice Daniel is an example of a man who has success with man and with God. Chapter 1, verse 9. Now God granted to Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And so Daniel is a man who was successful before God, and he was successful before man. Look at Genesis 39. Genesis 39. Here is another man who, as Proverbs teaches us, learned how to have favor with God and with man. And 39:2-4. And the Lord was with Joseph. That means he was a horizontal, a vertical success. So he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him and how it had caused him everything to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight. And so notice here is a successful man because he is successful vertically, favor with God, and he is successful horizontally, favor with man. Now that's what's in front of us then in Proverbs chapter 3. And where we'll begin in our next hour to look at how to have success with man and with God, or the theme of horizontal and vertical success. And let me practice the rabbinical method and use on you the theme that the rabbis always said. There are three keys to teaching. Repeat, repeat, and repeat. And, you know, I get a clue, and I think if you teach, you get a clue as to whether people are listening. Because if you repeated a thing, that doesn't mean repetitious. It means you've said it in different words. We've talked about success. We've talked about vertical and horizontal. We've talked about man, about God, and that's repeating the same idea in many, many ways. Repetition is in teaching does not mean repetition of words. It means repetition of the truth in different words over and over again. And therefore, one of the ways I tell whether you're getting it or not is when I come to my repetition and I begin to say that Proverbs 3:4, success with God and man is the key to the passage, and verses 5 through 12, and I see some of you don't do this, but some of you will lip back what I'm just ready to say. And that means you know what I'm talking about because you've got it in your head, and there's value to your lipping back what I've already said, and therefore chapter 3, verse 4 is the key to the passage, and we have success with God, 5 through 12, and success with man, 13 through 25, and we'll pick up this very rich chapter in our next study at 11 o'clock. Father, we're thankful for your word and your truth. Help us to understand it in order to be effective servants of thine in Christ's name.